Well, last night we lifted up Jesus. We're going to do it again tonight. And I think the Holy Ghost is going to come with us. Do y'all let's see here. You ever read in your Bible where Jesus came in and by the Holy Ghost and particular evidences used to take place? Whirlwinds, chariots of fire, tongues of cloven fire setting on people's heads. Y'all aware of that? Well, God is, I don't know how to go about telling them, if I even should tell you. I want to tell you. There's a particular presence of the Lord Jesus that I get to feel. I don't trust it as far as letting me know whether God's with me or not, because the Bible says He is, whether I feel anything or not. But I was fairly new to the Holy Ghost, and I was in there listening to a guy. Have y'all ever heard of a guy by the name of R.W. Shambach? I really like him. He's helped tutor my life. And I was in there, and my daughter, who is now 18 years old, she was little. So I was in there worshiping God with her, teaching her how, from a little bitty girl, to worship Jesus. And I threw my hands up in the air because Brother Shambach ordered me to on the radio. And when I threw my hands up in the air, I threw them up into a furnace of fire. It scared me. I jerked them down, grabbed my baby in that little carrier, and we ran out in the yard. Because I thought the house was on fire. But I didn't see any smoke. So I opened the door and went to looking back inside my house. There was no smoke and there was no fire. So I carried her back over there. Set her back on the table. Thought I was just experiencing some kind of hallucination maybe. So Brother Shambach again shouted and said, "Lift them hands and worship Jesus." I lifted them up again, felt the fire again, but this time I fell on the floor. I didn't run out the door. So ever since then, nearly every day of my life, I can feel fire in the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know, since I've been here in y'all's country, it has settled down onto my head and up to my chest. It comes from God down. And I've never experienced that before. So I really believe that Jesus is going to do something with us. I really believe that this is an ordained of God opportunity. I don't want to get you out into some kind of emotionalism or looking for some angelic thing or nothing like that. We've got the Word of God that suffices. But I really appreciate it when God gives us signs, when He does do it, because I didn't go looking for it. It just fell on me by God did it. It's His fault, not mine. So I wanted to tell you all that and want y'all to be prepared, because I don't know. Brother Steve leaned over to me and told me that he felt like there's liable to be something particularly unusual happen here tonight. He really got touched by God there in the ministry of the praise and music by the team. Brother Britt comes walking down. He's an intercessor. Who knows where he's at? He might be in some corner somewhere on his face. But he come walking down here and he told me, he said he really thought God was going to move in here. He didn't know what Brother Steve had just leaned over and told me. He didn't know that I was feeling fire clean down on my chest for the first time in my life. So I think it's an opportunity for y'all, if y'all open your hearts, for us to receive from God. I really do. I really do. Okay, you young people that are here, and Brother Allen was telling me right as we got here, I guess, that his daughters, how they had come here, and you know, and it is unusual for young people to want to go to service a lot. not necessarily for pastor's kids. Mine like it. They like to go to me at church all the time. But you young people that are here, I want you to, because I know, I realize I'm an exciting guy. I realize that God in me is fun. I realize that God in me is different than most people get to see God, because I'm very unusual. But I want you all, you young people that are here tonight, to be thinking about in the next services that we're around. More than likely, God might want to set y'all up in some kind of commission. Brother Steve was really impressed by the Holy Ghost about that. So I want to just bring that out right off the bat here tonight. For y'all, you young people's heart to be open and ready to receive from God, to be commissioned to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The reason you're born into this world is not to get you a great job and make lots of money and become like everybody else. You've been born into this world to change the world for God. You've been trained by God your entire life to do something for the Lord Jesus. So I suggest that you do that. All right? All right, we have two prayer requests here. Christine Taylor needs salvation, and she's dying of cancer. She can't have any more, chemotherapy. We need miraculous salvation and healing. Okay? Y'all got that? I'll put that back here. If you need that back, just tell me. Let's see, there's another one here. Dick Hutchison, due to be operated on Wednesday the 12th, has a bubble in his heart. Pray for total recovery and the man's salvation. All right? I'd like for you to stand up with me, please, and let's pray a minute. And let's thank God for the Holy Ghost. We've already done that. Let's do it again. You know what? Y'all are awful close to me. I can get down here close to you, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead, church. You know how to worship Jesus. You don't need me to lead you. You've got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gifts of God. Thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, by the blood. Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. The precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The covenant you shed, Jesus. The covenant that you did. Your purity, God. Let it be exalted through us tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Come to us, God. We rebuke the cancer. We rebuke the heart disease. We thank God to heal and restore in the name of Jesus. Kalabara shatele kalabara. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Sweep this place, God. Fall in here, God. Fall in here, God, in Jesus' name. God, for your glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We speak to the principalities. We speak to witchcraft and unclean spirits over this city and over this area. Is it called Nambour? Nambour? Is that all right? In the name of Jesus, we curse you, devil. We're not afraid of you. We fear God. We fear God. In Jesus' name. We thank God for souls. We thank God for healing. We thank God for deliverance. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God, we thank you for faithfulness. We thank you for stability. We thank you for persistence. We thank you for diligence. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would y'all please be seated and get your books? I want to say something to you, if it's all right to tell you this with a little boldness. While you're turning to Matthew chapter 1, I want you to go ahead and be healed while I'm preaching tonight. It's the Word that heals, it's not a man. It's the Word that heals, it's not a human being, it's God's Word that heals. You know, because a lot of y'all wonder sometimes, how is it that a man can be in sin and people not know about it and the power of God still operate? It's not the man, it's the Word that heals. So go ahead and be healed. Be healed. It's all right with God. Just breathe in your healing. It's all right with God. It's all right with God. I think this is entirely in order to let Him operate the way He wants to, not the way we want to. Let Jesus operate. I've been into lots of healing in places where I'd start preaching. And Jesus, I'll tell you, He's a mess. He's so much fun. You sit here and you got a little plan figured out what you think God wants you to do. And He goes in there and interrupts it all and messes it all up by starting to heal people just because He wants to. Most amazing thing, He'll just walk through. I used to be a pastor before I went to the mission field. Most of y'all probably don't know that. And I had several, we started with six people. And it was just, we're having a good time and just started growing, growing, growing. And I was really keen on young people. And so we had these young people. I would take them every Saturday and do what we call track meets. That's where we'd get a couple of thousand tracks and I'd get them and we'd go pass out them, out all them tracks before, during the day on a Saturday. And then we'd go and have some kind of a supper and everything. And I'd sit down and just pray with them and teach them about Jesus and everything, and lots of times Jesus would come in there. We'd be just sitting down in a big floor, and all of us would be sitting there worshiping Jesus. Lots of times Jesus would just come in there, and every time He came, He had a basket in His hand, but He came with different things. He'd come in, and them young people would see Him, and they'd be afraid. They'd fall on the floor and get knocked out in the Holy Ghost, because Jesus would be, He'd walk over there, and He would hand out, sometimes He was handing out fish, sometimes He was handing out dates. Sometimes He was handing out bread. But He'd come in there with different nourishments for our spiritual bodies. And He'd just come in there and pass it around and give everybody something to eat. So it's all right to go ahead and just let Him move through you. Okay? It's all right with God. Matthew chapter 1. I got a whole list of miracles to tell you about. I'm trying to do it in a certain order to where I can get every organ in the body here. I don't want to miss an organ when I leave here. I don't want you to say, well, yeah, but He didn't say nothing about me and my little spleen being messed up. You know? Oh, yeah, He didn't talk about liver and liver cancer or tumors or something like that. I hope I don't miss an organ. I probably will, but if I do, it ain't going to give you an excuse not to be healed, all right? Matthew chapter 1. I want to look at verse 18. Now, this is not December the 24th, so this is not a Christmas message. Because I personally do not believe in Christ masked. I believe in Jesus. There's my opinion. So let's just read what the Bible says here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, the birth of Jesus was like this. When as his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found of child of what? The Holy Ghost. Come on, Mary. Little old virgin girl out there. You can imagine she's probably went down to the well to get some water. And that Holy Ghost come on her. And I mean, she just didn't know what to do and all kinds of stuff. This angel's talking to her. I mean, you got a girl. See, in these cultures other than our European-style culture, the girls are never approached by men or anything else. They're left alone. And you can imagine her fear and her dread whenever this angel appears there. And she's never, I guarantee you, her as a virgin girl, she was never alone with a man, ever. And all of a sudden she finds herself alone, and this angelic being is talking to her. And he tells her, peace, don't be afraid. And then he says, you're fixing to get pregnant. Now, yeah, you know, that's going to bring a lot of peace to a young virgin girl who's got a daddy that's a Jew. When strict rules say you must be stoned. Isn't that something? So I doubt if her heart was settled when he got through talking to her. But God chose her because of her purity. Because of her honesty, because of her and her family's integrity, because of lots of different things, God chose her out of all the years that there has been. He chose her. And it says in verse 19, now then Joseph, now she was engaged to this guy, Joseph. I doubt if me being an American is very much different than y'all on this aspect. If I'm engaged to a girl, and we're both virgins, and she comes up pregnant, more than likely I'm going to go looking for my Mach 10 or Uzi or something. Or 9mm or something. I'm going to go find me some kind of a weapon to try to deal with this situation. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. I believe that's a very mild understatement right there. Because he was a man just like the rest of us was. I guarantee you jealousy, rejection, all sorts of things filled his mind and his spirit. But one thing I've noticed about God, he does what he wants to, when he wants to, and everybody else has to comply. Okay? And if you don't want to comply, he'll leave you out. He'll go right on by you. But when the time that's been ordained from the beginning comes for this particular item to happen, it won't miss the prophetic clock. It will take place. The sovereign hand of God can never be denied. Do you understand? So Joseph, he was a just man. He was a good man. He didn't want to ruin her reputation or her family, and he didn't want her to be exposed and have to be murdered. To me, this reeks of love that the man had for his wife to be. But how in the world could he? How in the world could he sit here and stomach the idea that the girl that they had been arranged to marry? How could that be that she had betrayed the family trust? Now, verse 20 says, while he was thinking on this stuff, I guarantee it never left. There wasn't a minute between the time he found out that this girl was pregnant and he knew it wasn't him that did it, and then to the time the angel come, I guarantee you there wasn't a moment of time went by that he wasn't frustrated, he wasn't hurt, he wasn't caved in with condemnation, he wasn't filled with all kind of demonic hosts of contention and strife. Every kind of thing was overwhelming the man. I guarantee you. He was constantly, how long the time was? It could have been 10 minutes, could have been 10 days. But the point is, it doesn't make any difference. He was defeated, I promise you. But like I told you, when God gets ready to do something, men have to pay a price to receive what God's miraculous is going to do. Somewhere along the line, before God's miracle really comes to pass, somebody paid the price to get it there. Did you hear me? Somebody paid what was necessary for God's clock to tick on that moment, for the gushes, the bowels of heaven to come out and bring the power and the glory and the miracle to earth. Somebody paid the price. And here we find the little virgin girl did by her honesty and purity. And we also find that her husband had to submit. He had to. Even though his will was still involved in everything else, the man, God chose the right people because they understood. When God spoke, they didn't question it. They moved with Him. Did you hear me? While he thought on these things, and that was quite a hefty thing to think on, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and it was in a dream. Joseph, you son of David, don't fear to take Mary your wife. All right, now then, we got him over here. He's worrying about it. He drifted off to sleep evidently, and here come this angel blowing right down through his dream pipe and going right in there and saying, listen, boy, you got to understand something. God's ready to move. Now, what are we going to do about it? What I've noticed about men and women of God that I've been around, when God starts moving, they want to change. They don't want it that way right now. They want it a particular way, maybe later, or things are not adjusted according to their what they think. They want it a different way. Most of the time, that's the way we are. Did you know that? But the angel told Joseph, don't worry. For that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. When God gets ready to birth something into this world, church, it takes somebody somewhere taking the time to take it on themselves, whether it's in prayer and fasting, to birth the thing. It has to go full term. You can't just blab it and grab it. Even though that's what you think, it's not that way. God's power and glory and wonder that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ has to take full term. It has to take seed in you. You have to become pregnant with visions. You have to become pregnant with ideas from God. And you have to think on them. And you have to allow the Holy Ghost to bring that stuff in you and mature it in you so you can birth it into this world. And so God can get the glory for it. See, when a guy like me comes along occasionally, and like we've had several people stand up out of these wheelchairs around here, and I'm happy about that more than you are, I promise you. But it's not like you can just walk over there, take that young girl and jerk her out of that wheelchair over there. Most people in here that would tell me they got the Holy Ghost would go over there and jerk on her and she'd fall on the floor. It's not because me or anybody else is better than you. It's me and some other people taking the time to birth those things into this earth. Are y'all getting this? This is a very important gold nugget I'm sharing with you here. God's got a clock, and we got to work by His clock and not by ours. Because I got some news for you. God is with us. God is with us. We lifted Him up last night. We're going to make sure everybody understands that He's lifted up now. We're going to make sure you understand He's with us. It says right here in verse 21, the angel is still talking to Joseph. She, Mary, will bring forth a son. Now, I've heard a lot of you people that call yourselves prophets jump up when somebody's in an emotional state and you're so happy about somebody's wife getting pregnant, and oh boy, and that you heard them say they want a daughter or a son, and you go over there and you lay hands on her, you start prophesying a son comes. Well, when a baby girl comes, who lied? God? I don't think so. I think men lie. I don't think God does. I think if we stoned false prophets like they used to, we'd get a lot more of the utterances of God instead of somebody's babbling emotions. Boy, I'm coming after y'all tonight. Well, there's a reason and rhyme for my madness. God is with us. And I really think He wants to do something in y'all's groups. I really do. I really, really, really do. And the Bible says she's going to bring forth a little boy and you're going to call his name Jesus, which means Savior. What's the very reason the Bible says Jesus comes here? To save us from our sins. Salvation is inclusive. When you get saved, you're born, what we call born again, you get to be freed from any kind of entrapment of the devil. You are released from that. God lets you be free of it. You get written a covenant. It gets handed to you, and you are redeemed by the Holy Ghost. You are given a freedom and a writ, a stay of execution, and you do not have to go through it. Because Jesus came through the Virgin, and His daddy didn't try to withstand the Holy Ghost. His daddy said, so be it. God be with us. I suggest you take on that kind of an attitude, church. Because things are going to happen in your life that you're not going to understand when God starts moving. It's going to be different than what you're normally used to, and it might take you by surprise even. Normally it will. But don't fight it. Don't go against it. Flow with it. Do your best to submit to it if you know it's God. Verse 22. Now all this was done. See? Did you see what happened? You never heard Joseph say, okay, angel, let God do whatever He wants to. See, a lot of y'all feel like that you have to say okay to God. Well, I do wish we were that powerful, but we're not. We're the humans. He's God. I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, but you're not a God. There is one wise and true God, and His name is Jehovah. Okay? Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. God goes out of His way to fulfill His word. Did y'all hear me? That's a very important statement. Because you feel like, well, I have to have all my little ducks lined up in a row. And maybe, hopefully, if I get all of it done, God will move. Listen to me. If you can believe God's word, it don't matter how many ducks are out of order, God's going to fulfill His word. I don't believe in a works mentality. I believe in a faith mentality. But I believe a man with faith will work. The Bible says right here in verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a son, and you'll call his name what? Emmanuel, Dios con nosotros. God with us." And I got some news for y'all. God's with me. God's with me. You see, I had this young pastor. He was quite excited to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he jumped out there and started making these amazing statements. And these elders of the area got a little hostile at him, because it wasn't normal for a young Indian boy to go out here and say, "Hey, I've just discovered God's with us. Hey, I've just discovered that all these powers of witchcraft are going to take us to hell." Well, when you start talking that kind of language where I live, you're talking against all the elders of the region. So they took this young guy, and they told him, "Now you listen here. You're going to have to stop this God business." He said, "With all due respect to you, sirs, let God be true and let every man be a liar." Where do you reckon he heard that? I taught him. He went into a village that was hostile to us and the gospel. He was so excited about Jesus. He wanted to just witness to everybody. He found a man in a hut with a heart disease. The guys, have y'all ever seen heart disease people when their fingertips are really big and they swell up? That's a sure sign of heart diseases. That's really bad trouble with the heart. And this guy's fingers were really swollen up and he was really bad. He hadn't been able to work in about 8 years. And he was always trouble. The townspeople, see there's no ambulance services there. When somebody gets really ill, they have to tote these people on their backs for hours to get out of the jungle. Then they have to wait on the bus, get out and off the dirt road. Then they get onto the paved road, and they go for hours and hours and hours to a big city, and there's where the hospital is. And it takes those people lots of money to do that, and they don't have lots of money. So even though these people were tired of fooling with this guy, because he had had all kinds of heart complications for years, when this guy walks in there and he tells him, "You must be born again, and when you get born again, God's going to heal you." When he made that statement to him, it was great for the guy that was sick to hear, but the elders got more hostile at him. And so they forbade him to come back to their village, but he'd slip in at night and go pray for the guy. And then they caught him one night there. So they beat him almost to death. They beat him till they thought he was dead. But he didn't die. And when I found him, his lips were beat so bad they were turned all inside out. His teeth were knocked out. He had gashes all over his body from the clubs and the machetes. So we prayed for him. Took about 2 or 3 weeks, but he was back up on his feet. And then he was almost completely healed. And those people from that other village show up at his house, tear his house down, get him by the hair of the head, drag him back to their village, which is a couple hours away, dragging this guy. He's almost healed completely from the first beating. And they drag him over to their village, and there was a man laying dead out beside a hut. They threw him down on top of that dead man and said, "If you don't raise him from the dead, we're going to kill you just like he's dead. The reason he's dead is because he trusted your God." What if your gospel was that serious? Can God be with you in that situation? turn with me over to, let me look here, Isaiah chapter 7. There we are back in Isaiah again, isn't that something? Only some of y'all know what I'm saying because y'all heard me make that statement. Isaiah chapter 7. This is the place where 800 years before God prophesied through Isaiah the prophet that Mary would conceive and have God with us in her womb, who is Jesus the righteous. Okay? And so here we are, and this guy's laying there, and there's about 40 or 50 armed men all around him. They're kicking him. They're hitting him with gun butts. They're slapping him in the face with these flat sides of these machetes. And they're drinking that moonshine, and they're really getting looped up again. There's going to be I'm going to fix to lose me another pastor here. But instead, because they were mocking him, mocking God, telling him all sorts of things, what they're going to do to his little wife after they killed him. All sorts of stuff was going on. It was very radical and really normal for a devil. That's normal for a devil. If you preach Jesus just right, you'll find normal devils. When you start preaching the real Jesus, the normal devil starts showing up. Because he's got to shut you down somehow. Because if you start spreading and having domino effect, next thing you know, revival breaks out and God's power and glory takes over, the devils lose out. And so, the little pastor's laying down there and he's all beat up again. And they said, you got 2 hours. If God don't raise this guy from the dead, we're going to lop your head off. Well, I don't know about y'all, but if you've ever put God in American or anybody else's timetable, he usually don't perform. If you tell God, all right, God, I'm giving you a certain amount of time. If you don't do it, I'm bailing out of here and do something else. More than likely, you might as well go ahead and crank your car and go and do whatever the other thing was, because you can't make God do nothing. But the situation was not that we were trying to make God do something, as it was the devil trying to shut up and silence a voice that believed Emmanuel, God with us. Y'all hear me? That boy began to pray in tongues. That guy began to beat on that dead man. Begging God to raise him, and nothing happened. First hour, hour and a half. And these guys are getting close. They're like, we got you. We knew you didn't have no God. We knew your God's a lie. We knew you were lying to us. One thing led to another, and it got within a few minutes. And those guys are sitting there with their files sharpening their machetes. They're going to cut these people all up into little pieces. And he looked up to heaven. He said, God, if I must die, I can't think of a better way to die, giving you praise and honor. He said, I appreciate you letting me take these hits for the cross. I appreciate you letting me drop a few drops of my blood on the ground. I just asked you that every drop of blood brings in another soul into the kingdom of God. And he just began to worship God and thank him for the cross and appreciation for the persecution. Thank you that I was counted worthy to be persecuted for the blood of Jesus, for the covenant of God Almighty, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to worship God and thank him for the persecution and the ability. And he began to get more and more energy by it. And he stood up and looked those guys in the face and said, kill me. Kill me now. Until finally, all of a sudden, those guys threw their guns down and took off running. He thought it was his great anointing. And he turned around and looked, and the dead man was standing there looking, staring him right in the face. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, I want to look at verse 13. There's a real good question in verse 13 right before we get to verse 14 that we're going to read. It says what the actual prophecy of Emmanuel coming is. It says in verse 13, He said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing? Is it a small thing for you to weary men? Boy, I tell you, sometimes I start messing with the modern church. Boy, I get weary. I don't like to fool with y'all too much. Because you know so much, but you don't know nothing. The simplest thing is, lift up Jesus, understand that God is with us. That's all you need to know. Don't be frustrating yourself running around trying to get all the latest knowledge and everything. Just frustrate God by bugging Him so much He says, Okay, have it. Do not be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. And it says right here, it says, But will ye weary my God also? It's one thing for you to frustrate me. But how is it that you have the nerve to frustrate God? Who taught you to be like that? Where'd you learn that? Church, we got to let Him be God. We got to let Jesus be the King and Lord He is. We've got to understand that He is with us. He is with us, church. You got to realize that you're a human and you're not going to get over that. One of these days, if you're born again and you stay with Jesus and you die and in the great glorious day of the Lord appears, then we get our glorified bodies, then you get over being a human. But right now, you got to put up with it. So why don't you just accept it and just let Him work through you who you are and let Him be who He is. It really sets you free. It really allows you not to worry about great knowledge and wisdom, but let His great knowledge and wisdom flow through you. There's real freedom in this. Most of you sitting here cocking your heads at me and saying, but it ain't that simple. But I've been sitting here for half an hour telling you that it is. What you're doing to me is you're wearying me. And that's all right, but don't weary God. Okay? It says in verse 14, Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. It's not going to be somebody else's doing. It's going to be when God decides that you will get it, buddy. And after that prophet said that, it was 800 years before that little virgin girl got the visitation. And it says right here, Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You'll call His name what? What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. God is with us. Turn to Psalms chapter 23. God is with us. Have y'all ever read the Lord's Prayer before? Have y'all ever heard what it means here? Look at Psalms 23. Who is the Lord? Who is God with us? He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. You really have a bunch of nerve thinking you have so many rights. I'll tell you that. It's my understanding that y'all have a lot of herdsmen in this country. How many of those cattle or how many of those sheep or horses have rights? None of them do. They have to submit to the herdsman. They have to submit to the shepherd. You don't have the right to carry out your will. You must carry out the will of Father God, your shepherd. He's with us. We've got to realize that. He's with us. What do you think it was like for that young minister? He had been saved a while, but he hadn't been a minister very long. He didn't have a lot of experience. He didn't have a whole bunch of great things that happened in his life. What did he feel like when them men were pounding on his face? The Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't matter if people are pounding on my face, hitting me with rocks. I shall not want. It doesn't matter if I know what I'm doing or not. I will not want for wisdom and knowledge. It doesn't matter if I'm confronted with 1,000 wheelchairs. I shall not want for a shepherd. It doesn't matter what I see. It matters who He is to me. He's with me. He's my shepherd. The Bible says He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, I really did think about giving y'all a miracle for every one of these little sayings here. But that would take us too long and y'all get too antsy too quick. So I'll just read a few and give you one, read a few and give you one. Okay? He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's not because of who I am. It's because of who He is. It's because He's with us. That's why things happen. That's why we can believe Him and trust Him, because He's with us. The Bible says in verse 4, yea, though. Can y'all say that with me? Yea, though. Now say the next word. I. Say that one more time. I. Say it again. I. That's you, buddy. That's me. I walk through what? The valley of the shadow of death. What will I not do? Why? Why are you with me? What are you going to do while I'm walking through that valley of the shadow of death and I'm not fearing evil and I know your rod and yourself is there to comfort me? What do I receive out of it? Comfort. Right in the middle, in the presence. Oh, this is God. Wow. All of a sudden figured out a little something God's fixing to do here. This is good. I'm glad I'm here now. Wow. You comfort me. And though thou preparest a table before me, where? The best place for you to be is in the presence of your enemies. That's the best place to be. You know why? Because that's where God anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's how come last night we was talking back there and I was telling y'all how I feel when I get around one of them manifestations of them demons. This is why. This is why. I was telling them, I'll tell y'all a little of it. I'm not going to tell you much of it. Some of y'all will get probably leave. But I really get excited when the devil shows up. It makes me very happy. There's no reason for you to be afraid when the devil shows up. It doesn't matter what his name is either. Makes no difference what his name is. You should get excited. You shouldn't get depressed and anxious and worry and fret. You should just start shouting, thank God, thank God, thank God the devil's here. Hallelujah. Because whenever he gets there where you are, you don't have to worry where he's at anymore. You know right where he's at. Now he's all messed up and got in front of you. Now you can attack him and get him. When I'm in Mexico, not all the time, but a lot of the time, these messages come to my gate by runners. if you come to such and such church tonight, we're going to kill you. Sign, local witch doctor. I'm serious. This happens. One night I went, I got one of those messages. I got to the church. I went anyway. But like I tell you, when the devil shows up, that's when I need to be there. I don't need you to be there. I need to be there. Because I like to fight him. I hate him. He's my enemy. Because in the presence of my enemy, God makes me a banquet. I can sit down and enjoy it, and all they can do is wish they was there and be mad at me. But I can look at them and sneer at them. Ha! God's with me, not you. So I think I'll enjoy this banquet. You're so jealous and hating me, devil, but you can't do anything about it because God is with me. And the anointing comes when I enjoy my banquet. My cup is so full it runs over enough so it can go into somebody else's cup. And any devil that's in between gets destroyed. In the name of Jesus. I went to a place called Mame. Indian village, very obscure, several thousand people, but nobody knows about it. But I'm glad God does. The brothers told me when I got there, Brother David, the reason we didn't send you a runner to you because we knew that it was just a waste of time. If we told you not to come, you was coming anyway. But they're going to kill you tonight after church. I said, good, what we got to eat? See, in the way I talk, most people have a hard time believing me because I do it kind of flippantly, like it doesn't make any difference. But I don't want to die no more than you do. But that's not my worry, mate. My worry is worshiping Jesus. Did you know that? My worry is realizing God is with me. My worry is understanding that God keeps His Word. My worry is understanding I'm visiting to you. My worry is realizing you ready for this statement? There's not a devil that can kill me. Watch this. I defy you, devil, by the blood of Jesus. Shatalabaka. Brother David, you better watch out. You're getting into pride. Maybe if you said it, it would be. Boy, you're arrogant. I'm confident in Jesus. He's with me. They cannot stop the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? We went through church. Nothing happened. Got in my four-wheel drive. The brothers come up to me. Brother David, I'd rather you stay with us tonight. Leave out in the morning when it's daylight. No. I'm going home. I'm through working. It's time to go home. My wife's over there. I go where my wife's at when I'm through working. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to see her. Well, we're going to ride with you. Well, do what you have to do, but I'm going home. I had about probably 18 or 20 of my national pastors in the back of that truck, and these four or five little, these pastors and elders got on the truck with us. So we're riding out. We left the village. Everything seems to be all right. I went up this mountainous curve to the right. It was a brand new road. They were just digging it in there. First road in there ever. When I went around the corner, it began to rain boulders down on my truck. Now, when people stone you, they don't use little bitty rocks. They use boulders. And this really nice four-wheel drive I had, all of a sudden started getting craters in the hood. Do y'all know what the hood is? The bonnet. The windshield starts breaking out all around me. So I'm getting gears, getting out of there, but I couldn't get out. It was a perfect place for an attack. Now, I want you to know something. I really appreciate people that can trap me and attack me. I appreciate their ability, because the more of somebody that's better than me, any devil that's better than I am, that can trap me and trick me, I learn from their traps. Do you hear me? And so we were going along and these rocks were flying. I finally got to the other end of the meteor shower and got down on the other side. Boy, I was furious. They tore my truck up. Man, I got out of there, I was so mad. I was, golly, I could have bit nails into. My goodness. But then all of a sudden I heard this groan. Ugh. I went running to the back, had my flashlight out, and I saw a fountain of blood. One of my brothers had taken one of those rocks in the top of the head, knocked the top of his head off. I jumped up in the back of that truck, reached and grabbed that Indian. I pulled him down. The Indians bailed out. The whole bed of the truck was covered in blood. I was slipping and sliding all in my truck from the blood of men that were following me in the gospel. I can't tell you what that did to me. This man's blood was all over me. He was spraying blood all over me. It was running all over me. I grabbed his head. I was in a frenzy myself. You devil. I was so mad. I ain't going to tell you all the words I said. You devil, in the name of Jesus. Body, you listen to me. Head, you stop pumping this blood out all over me. It stopped. So I went in the truck. I'm covered in blood. I got my coat out. I went around here. This guy's going into shock. I put my coat on him. I take him around to the front of my truck, put him in there, and then I went over there. And I was covered in blood. It was dripping off of me. It was another man's blood following God with me. An anger come over me that I haven't ever experienced. There was a cliff straight up that they were up there hiding, throwing those rocks on us. I started walking towards them, talking to them. I'm coming after you guys, I'm going to kill every one of you. So I started walking at them by myself. You say, golly, that ain't spiritual. Why don't you come teach me how to be spiritual? Okay? I was so freaked out by all this blood and guts and stuff and these demons, and they tore up my truck. I was so mad at them, and I did make a mistake and attack them and start talking to them. Climbed up that cliff. They're throwing these rocks down. Bang, bow. Never felt them. Kept going. Got up on top of the rock to find there wasn't one accuser up there. So I started telling them, what's the matter, you bunch of sissies? You can hide and throw rocks, but when a man filled with the Holy Ghost comes after you, you run hide like a bunch of kids. Come out of that jungle, let's get with the program. So I started looking for them. Don't have no flashlight anymore. I lost it when I was trying to scale that cliff. All of a sudden, I got too close to one of them. He broke and took off running, so I took out after him. We come to the other side of the cliff. He jumped off. I was right behind him. We're running down the road as fast as we can. I'm gaining on him. We ran around the corner. He jumps off of about a 100-foot cliff into the river. I stopped and looked at it, and my brothers, I had no idea they were even there. There was five or six of our national brothers there. They said, do you want him? I said, I want him. All of them jumped off the cliff. But that little bit of a pause gave that guy, all of them went in the water, I heard all the splashing, but I couldn't see anything. He got away. My brothers came back. Well, this is an amazing story. The next thing that happened, I was still kind of excited. So I thought the right thing to do would be go find the local mayors of the two towns. They were communist. They hate me. That doesn't make any difference by now. Let's go get them. Let's go have a talk with these guys. They want to hang me up in a tree? Let's go give them the opportunity. What you say? If their God can win, let's just see right now. I've had enough of this playing around. But it's time for whosoever God is in control to take control. We laid hands on this guy, Brother Domingo. That means Brother Sunday. He was a man that just a few weeks before had been crippled for 5 years. I laid hands on the man in his house. He got up off the bed of 5 years. And walked with me out to my truck, got in the truck, and went to church with me. So he was going to every service with me, and he's the one who took the rock. I sent my truck on ahead. I had 10 of my national pastors get off the truck with me. That other missionary that was there with me, he was scared to death. I said, look, just take my truck and go as far as you want to out of the danger, but wait on me. I'm fixing to go have a talk with some devils. Because they can't run our lives anymore. Jesus is bigger than they are. So it's time to talk to them. Went down to the mayor of two towns. Nobody was home. I knocked on every door. Almost knocked the whole houses down knocking on them doors. But nobody was home. They'd all fled into the jungle. I went back up on the road with the national pastors. Somebody, he wasn't saved, but he was very friendly to the gospel. Come out of the jungle. He said, listen, right up the road here, there's another trap. They're waiting on y'all. They've organized again. They're going to kill y'all. I said, where exactly is this little trap at? He told me the curve it was in that little road. I told the national pastors, I said, I got an idea for you guys. Why don't you go home? Why don't you go down, take off the mountain, go down there to the river and go home? I said, because I'm fixing to have a talk with these killers. So I walked up to where that trap was and I started singing a little tune. Wish I was a singer. I could really get y'all going with this thing. Started singing a little tune. It's called this right here. God is God. He always will be God. He's God in the fiery furnace. He's God in the lion's den. He's God of the whole creation. And He's God in the hearts of men. So I started singing that little tune. Walking down through there and inviting those devils to kill me if they could. If their God was as big or bigger than my God, now's the time to see. Let's go for it. I never heard a movement from them. Before we got there, I don't know where they went. I don't know what they saw. There's no telling. But there's one thing I did when I got to the other side of the trap, which was a couple hundred yards walk. I turned around and every one of my national pastors had followed me through. Isn't that something? And we were delivered. So it came time 2 weeks later to go back into that village again. So I don't have to tell you that the devil's really taunting me now. Use wisdom, Brother David. My Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Not he that sees something that might kill him because of the gospel run hides from it. Okay? So I went back out there to find out that guy that I had been chasing was the leader of the Communist Party, and I didn't know it, in that whole area. And the night that they attacked us, which was 2 weeks ago, his wife fell as a cripple, both of her legs twisted up around her head and her arms went around backwards. And she was in the bed crippled. So now then, what's God? It's God to forgive them. It's God to love your enemies. So I told the brothers, I said, fellas, that does not make me happy one bit. Let's go to his house. I went to his house and knocked on the door. I said, sir, first thing I want to do is apologize to you about trying to kill you. Second thing I want to do is tell you that if you'll repent and give your life to the Lord Jesus, that disease will come off of your wife over there. That's a judgment of God because you attacked men of God. He said, nothing doing. Get out of here. I said, so be it. We left. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks go by. That woman's almost dead now. I mean, this thing is curling her bones. She was a hideous sight. Finally, the brother, I was at service and that at the brother's house, and this national communist leader comes up to the service while I'm there. I thought, well, this is it. But he fell down on his knees and started weeping and said, would y'all please come pray for my wife? I said, get up, you're a man. You ain't got to go on your knees to me. We forgive you. We forgive you. And so does God. Let's go. I was preaching. I mean, this was church already. I left church. Left the people praying and asking God for mercy. We went over to that hut, walked in there, laid hands on this lady. I'm telling you, if you'd have heard the noise of those bones rattling inside that lady, I can't tell you what it sounded like. They just started moving all by themselves. And she stood up. Healed. John chapter 10. Are y'all bored? Is this boring? Listen, I ask y'all every time. I don't want to bore you. I really don't. Where did I tell y'all to go? John 10. That's right. Y'all are right. John 10. Well, I'll tell you, God's something else, isn't he? If you can ever realize that God is with you, it doesn't make any difference what people do to you. You can forgive them and let God flow through you. And the power of forgiveness and understanding that God is with us, understanding that Jesus is lifted up, he's a great God. Boy, you all of a sudden become such a powerhouse, there is nothing cannot be, nothing can stand in your way. Your steamroll, everything. You do. You do. The Bible says in verse 7 of John chapter 10, then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. God is with me. Jesus is my doorway to eternal power and glory. He's yours also. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. There's no reasonable reason why you people can't be walking in the glory of the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is go in through Jesus and find pasture and restore your soul and let the shepherd groom you when you get out there and get in a ruckus. God will help you. The anointing is enough, I tell you. The anointing is enough. The Bible says a thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. You got to realize anything that comes against you, if it's got some kind of stealing in it, if it's got some kind of thievery in it, if it's got any kind of destruction to you at all, it is not from God, it's from the devil. Okay? And you must treat it like it is. You've got to treat anything. People say, you're too simple. This theology is just way too simple. I can't believe it's that easy. Listen, if it doesn't matter. If somebody walks up to me and starts talking to me, and if they've got destruction or stealing or killing in their tone, in them at all, it's not from God. Doesn't matter whose it from. Anything that comes down the line after me or my family or my work or my people to hurt us, to destruction, to steal or kill, in any form, it's from the devil. It's not from God. And it says right here in verse 10, I have come that you can have life. Anything that comes down the line, hallelujah, anything that comes down the line that's for my good or my enhancement or my or for God's kingdom to be glorified through me, it's God. And I must treat it like it is. John chapter 3. I don't know if y'all noticed it, but I sure hang out a lot in the first four Gospels. I preach the gospel. And I want you to look at John chapter 3 and verse 30. Verse 34. See, there's this village called El Rincón. El Rincón means the little corner. And there's a big river down there in Mexico that makes a big corner, a big turn like that. And there's a village sitting right there. That's why it's called El Rincón, the corner, because it's sitting in the corner of the land. There it goes up since that river. And there's this lady, these people got born again in there. And we were so happy. I was happy to have this new church in El Rincón. Oh boy, it was hard to get to it. It would take me about 5 or 6 hours in my four-wheel drive to get close as I could. Then I'd have to hike for 2 or 3 more hours just to get there to have church. It wasn't big mountains. It was the foothills, but the mud was usually a meter deep. And so we went out there one afternoon and preached the gospel to them, and oh my, oh my, oh my. The brother had been raided that day. The opposers of the gospel, the devils, had come and destroyed all of his animals. He had a couple of chickens and a pig and a donkey. They killed them all. Then they went out to his crops. He had a bean field, a little bitty bean field, and a little bitty corn field, and a few little vegetables growing. They cut all of them down. They left him totally bankrupt in just a few minutes. And he was sobbing because he had 8 children. He said to me, how am I going to take care of my children? I said, as long as I got beans and rice, you got beans and rice. Don't worry about it. I said, what you say, let's pray for them false accusers of the brethren. What you say, let's forgive these people. What you say, let's ask the Holy Ghost to deal with it. You don't have to worry about it. They went, got them some money together, and went and got 3 black magic warlocks. Black magic warlocks got together. They put together this different concoctions of. They went and cut a covenant with the devil. I was going to tell you how, but I decided not to. They got this covenant. Their devil worshiped together. They did it, and then a demon spirit came in the house while the brother was out trying to replant his crops. Killed his wife. He come in from the field to find his wife dead. Seems like this gospel is a little bit costly to this guy, huh? So he set out walking. He walked to the next village where one of our pastors was. He's a great man. His name's Brother Holy. That's his name. His name is Brother Santos Angeles, Holy Angels. That's his name. And he's there, and he left a dead wife. Could you imagine the frustration, the discouragement, and the brokenness that was on this man? His wife's dead, his crops are all gone, all of his animals are gone. All because he decided to trust Jesus. Brother Santos told him, "No worry, mate." So they hiked back for 3 or 4 hours, got back to the village. By now, this lady's been dead a long time. So what do you do now? You got all these babies to take care of and no mama. You got all these people that are hungry and no food. Really simple. The brothers took their Bibles and laid them up on top of that dead lady. I didn't tell them to do this. They did it. And they called up to God and said, "God, your word is true. Let every man be a liar. Your word that we know, it's laying on that lady right there. In the name of Jesus, whatever caused this death, we ask you to send it back where it came from, double, in Jesus' name." She came back to life. 6 people died. And they were the 6 leaders that had chopped down all the crops. They were the 6 leaders that had put the money together to bring those 3 warlocks that sent 3 spirits over. So 6 spirits went and killed them. How about that? When you got that kind of a God, it's easier to trust Him. I'm telling you, in Australia, He's no different than He is in Mexico. I'm telling you, here in Australia, He's no different than He was in the United States when I was just there, or anywhere else I've been. God is with us, church. Do you hear me? The Bible says in verse 34, "For he who God hath sent speaks the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure to him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hands." Let's turn to John chapter 14 now. I bind the devil in Jesus' name. John chapter 14, verse 10. "Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He does the work." I got some news for all y'all. It's God that does the work. It's not you or I. It's not our goodness, it's His goodness. It's not because we decided one day to do something for God. It's because God decided one day to let us worship Him. Are you here in this church? I'm giving you some valuable information. God is with us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He's our shepherd. He's the door to everything we need. He's with us. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Is it possible for Jesus to lie? His very statements in here to me are super profound. There's no way that you can lose by trusting Jesus. There's no way. It's not possible. See, I was hiking through a village one time. I was telling these guys the other day about this. There's a place. Are y'all familiar with the old west of the United States at all? A little bit, maybe. There was a territory back in the old west that had an area of land called the Hole in the Wall. And there was a refuge for outlaws. Well, over in Mexico where I work, the mountains are so great and so vast, I found Mexico's Hole in the Wall gang. But I didn't know it at the time. There was a bunch of people got saved on the other side of this Hole in the Wall gang's village. So I was just parking my truck close to their village. I had no idea these people were lethal. And I was just as bold as you ain't never seen. Just walk right through that village. How y'all doing? What's going on? Go right on through, hike for another 2 hours up the mountain and preach the gospel. Late at night, I'd come back by myself, night after night. I'd go back through there and I'd walk right through the village, get in my truck, crank it up and go home. I had no idea it was a lethal place. So after this happened for several times, I'm walking through there one afternoon going, I wasn't bothering them. A trail just went through there. So I was walking down through there and all of a sudden I noticed there was a bunch of fellas over there coming my way and they had things in their hands. Weaponry. So I just kept on walking. A little faster. But they're good at setting up traps. That was just a trap that was the group that falls in behind you, see. Then another group up here, so you can't get away. There's no sense to run, so you might as well stand your ground. And this really did happen. They come up there and they told me, listen, you're not allowed here. We know that you're not federal troops. We know that you're not a bad guy, but we know we don't want you here. I said, I appreciate, y'all's knowledge of everything, and that I'm not a bad guy, and I do respect that y'all don't want me here, but you got one little bitty problem. It's not very big, really. We can work through it. God told me to come here. And I do appreciate and respect y'all, but God told me to come here so you guys can go to hell. I literally meant go to hell. I wasn't cussing them. I meant they could burn. Because I was going to do what God says. I wasn't going to listen to no devil. Do you understand? But that was not disrespectful in my opinion. That was just the truth. But they didn't see it like that. So things got fairly tense. So this man, he comes walking up. He's got a little boy about this tall by the hand. He had a gun in this hand and a little boy in this one. Pulled him up there. Throwed him out there by me. And they had these guns on me. They said, heal him. I said, for heaven's sakes, what's wrong with him? The guy reaches up and moves the cloth. The boy had a tumor on the back of his head growing here. The size of a grapefruit, between an orange and a grapefruit. I said, you men are foolish. You got problems like this. And you're wanting to be mean to me. I'm the guy that brings deliverance. Do you understand that, fellas? God's with me. You guys should be fixing the best meal you got for me. You guys should be ushering me into the best house you got. You guys ought to be taking care of me instead of treating me like some animal going to shoot me like a dog or something. I said, because this little boy here is going to die if Jesus don't touch him. You ought not to be scaring me like this because I need faith to heal that boy. So I explained the gospel to that little boy. Got a hold of that tumor by the name of Jesus and rebuked it by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, you devil of hell, I curse you at the roots. I ask God to destroy you by the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name. Because of one little item that I've got called boldness, those guys invited me to a cup of coffee. And I sat down with those guys and explained, look, these guys are holding guns. They're criminals. They're murderers. They're robbers. They're thugs. They're full of devils. You get it? But who in the world am I sent to if it's not that kind of a people? So I took the opportunity of the little coffee to explain the gospel to them. And they looked at each other and said, we need to let this guy go through. He needs to go up here and help some other people. So they let me go. But the next time I went and found that little boy and the people. And when I walked in there, that tumor was the size of an egg. And I laid hands on that thing. I said, now look, I told you in Jesus' name to get off this boy. You've got to go in Jesus' name. Then I had another cup of coffee with him and away I went. The next time I come, it was great. They were waiting on me. They ushered me in. They gave me my meal with them. They took care of me. They gave me coffee. I said, why are we doing this? And they brought that little boy in. The tumor was gone off the little boy's neck. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do because I'm going to the Father. Verse 13. And I want you to holler out to me if your Bible says something different than mine. Whatsoever you ask in Jesus' name, that will I do. Does y'all's Bible say something like that? I've got to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, it matters who Jesus is. You got to realize He's our shepherd. He's the door to everything we need from God. And we can go in and we can find pasture and we can be groomed and helped and blessed and we can be healthy and made healthy by the name of Jesus. Because Jesus came here on the clock of God by miracle. It had nothing to do with men. It had something to do with God and God's timing. That's how come you got to understand when God begins to move in your midst, you got to let Him go. You got to let Him be God. You got to let Him flow with you, church. In the name of Jesus. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, what does it say? I will do it. That sounds to me like He means what He's talking about. That sounds to me like He ain't going to get you out there halfway and leave you standing ragged in the middle of the hole-in-the-wall game. That sounds to me like it doesn't matter if there is a dead person laying there and you've been beat all to pieces. When you start worshiping Jesus and exalting Him as God and Lord, and when you start worshiping Jesus and you allow Him to flow through you and you realize that He's with you, it doesn't matter how extreme the situation, He will perform whatever you ask. I've had the great privilege to be in prayer for about probably five or six people that have had livers destroyed in their bodies. And they've gone to the doctors and the livers are gone. I'm telling you right now that every one of them, Jesus gave them a brand new liver. All of them. All five or six of them. That impresses me that God can recreate in people stuff brand new when we let Him be our Lord and Savior, when we let Him be God with us, when we allow Him to be our shepherd, when we allow Him to be the doorway to everything we need. He's amazing. Jesus is wonderful. And to close, because it's 9 o'clock already, turn to Philippians, and we're going to close, please. I was in a village called El Paraje, which means the place of stopping, or it was a place where there used to be a trade route for the Aztec Indians, and it was a great river there, and they all and this village is there, and they had always stopped there and camp out as they were going on these trade routes, and this water is beautiful there and it's clean, and so it became called El Paraje. And I was there one night, and it was just a phenomenal thing. We was in church, having church. It was a brand new work. And this young Indian girl goes into a fit of epilepsy. And I'd never seen quite a manifestation of epilepsy like that. It was really something else. Y'all, I went over there and I watched God. It was wonderful. We began to lay hands on that girl and ask God, and she was all over the place. I mean, her eyes was bugging out, her tongue was swelling up, and her hair was being pulled out. And she was very violent. And in Jesus' name, we began to ask God for mercy. And you know, that girl was instantly delivered right on the spot of epilepsy. It was really something. It's a demon spirit, church. It must be treated like one. Okay? In Jesus' name. The Bible says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, and with this we're going to close, and I really appreciate y'all's patience with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." Have y'all been hearing what I've been telling you? We've got to roll everything on to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who moves us from faith to faith and glory to glory. We've got to trust Him, y'all. And the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything but prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And then something's going to happen to you when you begin to let God be with you. When you begin to go in at the door and eat and drink at God's table in the presence of your enemies, whenever you relax and you begin to rejoice and you begin to allow that Holy Ghost to flow through you and eat of the table of the Lord, something happens to you. The peace of God comes on you. "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." Would y'all stand up, please? I really appreciate y'all's time. It's very valuable to me, and I thank you for coming here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just lift our hands to Jesus, would you? Would you please just begin to tell Him thank you very much because you love Him? We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Jesus, sweep through here and touch your people. Holy, holy, holy God, you're worthy, worthy, worthy God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we appreciate you, God. God, we don't ever get tired of hearing the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus, Holy Ghost. Jesus. Thank you for the precious Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the anointing of the living God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for the covenant of the Holy Ghost. God, we appreciate you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.